When you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street, USA.
It started out like a song. We started quiet and slow, with no surprise. Then one morning I woke to realize we had a good thing going. It's not that nothing went wrong. Some angry moments, of course, but just a few. And only moments, no more, because we knew we had a good thing going. And if I wanted too much, was that such a mistake? At the time, you never wanted enough. Okay, tough, I don't make that a crime. And while it's going along, you take for granted some love will wear away. We took for granted a lot, and still I say, it could have kept on growing. Instead of just kept on, we had a good thing going, going, gone. Such a mistake. At the time, you never wanted enough. Okay, tough, I don't make that a crime. And while it's going along, you take for granted some love will wear away. We took for granted a lot, and still I say, it could have kept on going. Instead of just kept on, we had a good thing going, going, gone.
That Frank. Hello, it's Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street here on WPPB 88.3 FM, and we're going to have a good thing going today, because today we're going to take a backward glance, as it were, at Merrily We Roll Along. Merrily We Roll Along is one of the most admired and confounding and exciting shows in the Broadway canon. It was a complete flop in 1981, where it ran only 16 performances, but because it has a score by Stephen Sondheim and a terrific book by George Firth and was originally produced and directed by Hal Prince, it sort of lived long in the consciousness of Broadway fans everywhere. And even more so today, because Encores at New York City Center is presenting 2 weeks of a staged version of Merrily We Roll Along so that people can listen to it again, can see it, and can enjoy its considerable charms. That Encores presentation runs through February 19th, and today not only are we going to hear parts of the score from the original cast album and from other productions of Merrily We Roll Along, but I'm going to give you an insight into a seminar I had this past week with David Loud. David Loud is an accomplished musical director and was also in the original 1981 production of Merrily. And we talked at a pre-dress rehearsal seminar at City Center about the show, so you're going to get to hear some snapshots from that as well as some behind-the-scenes music that Sondheim used to put the show together. Well, it's an incredibly interesting score, and as many of you may know, if you followed it, it goes backwards in time. That's right. It's in reverse chronological order, which makes it very challenging. But let's hear a little bit of the Merrily theme that runs through the show from the original cast album from 1981.
How did you get there from here, Mr. Shepherd? What did you have to go through?
Now, Merrily We Roll Along is based on the original play by George S. Kaufman and Moss Hart. It was a very ambitious play back in 1934, and it also ran in reverse chronological order, but it covered the years from 1934 backwards to 1916. It was an incredibly large show. It had a cast of 91 with 11 different sets, and it was a succès d'estime, which George Kaufman called a success that runs out of steam. It was optioned for the movies but never made, and it languished for quite a long time until Hal Prince picked up the phone in 1980 and called Stephen Sondheim and asked him if he would be interested in writing the score. Prince and Sondheim had come off a tremendous string of hits in the 1970s, everything from Company to Sweeney Todd, and Prince had the idea that he wanted to do a show for young people. His daughter in particular was an aspiring actress, and he wanted a show that could showcase the ambitions and the dreams and the drives of young people, and he thought Merrily would be a good idea. They turned to the book writer George Firth, who had written the book to Sondheim and Prince's Company in 1970, and that in itself was a kind of felicitous relationship. George Firth was originally an actor. He was in a number of movies and plays and Broadway musicals, and in 1962, he was in one of the other great shows of all time that was in big trouble, called Hotspot. And Hotspot starred Judy Holliday, her first vehicle after her success in Bells Are Ringing, and it had a score by Mary Rogers, who was one of Sondheim's great childhood friends growing up, and lyrics by Martin Sharnan. But it was in terrible, terrible trouble, so they brought Sondheim down to Philadelphia to help him work on the show, and it was there for the first time he met George Firth, who played a small part in the musical. Now, Hotspot was never properly recorded. It never made it into New York. But as a way of, shall we say, having George and Steve meet for the first time, let's hear a little bit of Victoria Clark singing the song that Sondheim wrote for the show, Don't Laugh, from the Sondheim 80th Birthday Tribute.
Maybe I can do Don't Laugh good. Maybe I can do Don't Laugh Well. Maybe you could be, who knows, proud. All right, so laugh, but not too loud. If I can convince, don't laugh me. Why can't I convince, don't leave you? Give me half a chance, just half, and then don't laugh. Maybe I could be proud of me too. You will? Oh, yes, I can be ready soon. How about now? How about yes? Show me a barren hillside, I'll show you a field of grass. Show me an empty schoolroom, I'll show you a class. Show me an epidemic, I'll show you a board of health. Show me a starving people, show me an insurrection. Show me a restless native, show me the way to get there. Sally is gonna do, don't laugh, good. Sally is gonna do, don't laugh, well. Everything's gonna be, you watch, fine. You hear a laugh, that laugh is mine. Everything will be done, I hope, right. Everything will be right, don't ask how. Look at it all fall into place. Maybe it's my name, maybe it's my face. Show me a job to do and I'll show you now.
The idea that Hal Prince, Stephen Sondheim, and George Firth had when they did their own musical version of Merrily We Roll Along in 1981 was to tell the story backwards during the time in which they all began their careers. So the show starts in the middle of the 1970s, goes all the way back to the 1950s, particularly with the advent of Sputnik, which is a major event in the lead characters' lives. And the lead characters are Franklin Shepard, a composer, his best friend, Charlie Kringis, who's his librettist and lyricist, and their friend, Mary Flynn, who's an aspiring novel writer and all in favor, fan, champion of their work, and also secretly in love with Frank. We were able to explore the creation of the show and also the original production during a seminar we did before the Encore's dress rehearsal. My guest was David Loud. And David Loud talks about auditioning and being cast in the original production of Merrily, which was a dream come true for an ambitious college student at Yale.
There was a huge open call in New York in 1980 for young performers. They said 15 through 25 they were looking for the new Stephen Sondheim, Hal Prince, George Firth musical. This was their follow-up to Sweeney Todd, so how could it not be an extraordinary long-running hit? And the open call for 15 to 25 year olds pretty much gathered every actor from 15 to 65 at the Minskoff rehearsal studios. I remember waiting in line and waiting in line and waiting in line and not getting seen, but managing to give my resume to Joanna Merlin that day, and they saw that I played the piano. And she actually called me in my dorm room at Yale to schedule an audition and another audition and another audition and another audition. And finally, in November of 1980, we were cast. It was one long day of about 100 of us that started the day. And by the end, it was the 26 of us in the show. And they said, we have good news and bad news. The good news is the show has been cast and you are it. And we were very quiet for about 1 second and then started screaming and jumping up and down. And the bad news was that the show was postponed, which was good news for me because it meant I could finish up the year at Yale and move to New York. And we started in the end of the summer in 1981 and opened in 1981 and closed on my 20th birthday, which was the end of November in 1981.
Merrily We Roll Along is the story of three old friends, Franklin, Charlie, and Mary. And one of the great things about the score is it had a really accessible, lighthearted, friendly, affable tone. It was not Sweeney Todd by a long chalk. So let's hear two songs back to back about the old friends who constitute the trio in the show. Our first is from the irrepressible Liza Minnelli, and then we're going to segue into a recording by Julie Andrews from the review Putting It Together, where she laments that life among old friends wasn't quite what it was. But first, let's hear Liza Minnelli.
Okay, old friend, are we unique? Time goes by, everything else keeps changing. You and I, we get continued next week. Most friends fade, or they don't make the grade. New ones are quickly made, and in a pinch, sure, they'll do. Discuss, old friend, here's to us, who's like us, damn few, old friends, no, I mean old friends.
Charlie, why can't it be like it was? I liked it the way that it was, Charlie. You and me, we were nicer then. We were nice, kids and cities and trees were nice. Everything, I don't know who we are anymore. And I'm starting not to care. Look at us, Charlie. Nothing's the way that it was. I want it the way that it was. Help me stop remembering then. Don't you remember? It was good, it was really good. Help me out, Charlie. Make it like it was. Charlie, nothing's the way that it was. I want it the way that it was. God knows things were easier then. Trouble is, Charlie, that's what everyone does. Blames the way it is on the way it is. On the way it never was.
That was Julie Andrews from the Sondheim Review, Putting It Together. Hello, I'm Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street here on WPPB 88.3 FM. And today we're celebrating the wonderful complexity of Sondheim's score to Merrily We Roll Along. Merrily We Roll Along is playing for one more weekend at New York City Center's Encore series through February 19th. If you're interested in tickets to this wonderful production, which stars Colin Donnell, Lin-Manuel Miranda, and Celia Keenan Bulger, you can go to www.nycitycenter.com. I thoroughly recommend it. It's a terrific way to see this show again. One of the great complexities of the score centers in the character of Franklin Shepard, who's the show's composer. He's the character who's a composer in the show and obviously represents a lot of Stephen Sondheim's musical skill and preoccupation. I had a great chance at the Encore's pre-show seminar to talk with David Loud, who's a musical director in his own right and who was in the original production of Merrily. And he gave a wonderful overview of this character's way of writing the score, how Sondheim created a composer character in the middle of one of his musicals. And so I'll turn it over to David from the seminar with Zach Redler on the piano.
And one of the amazing things that Steve does in the score is the central character, Franklin Shepard, is a composer. And five or six times in the course of the musical, we hear music that Franklin has composed. And every single one of those songs, while sounding completely different, are based on the same intervals. And it unifies those pieces as sort of coming out of the brain of Franklin Shepard. Whether he intended to say everything Franklin wrote was the same, I don't know, but it doesn't. To me, it doesn't really have that effect. What it does is it just sort of an unspoken example of this music came out of Frank, not out of, you know, the author's voice, not out of Stephen Sondheim's voice. In our version, the first song that you hear in the play is "The Hills of Tomorrow." And would you play it just a little bit? And the opening lyrics are, "Behold the hills of tomorrow." Could you play those intervals? That's right. And those intervals become the basis of everything Frank writes in the show. So we hear it as an anthem right there, and then play a little bit of "Good Thing Going." So it's the same intervals, but done as a sort of ballad pop song. And each of them develops in different ways. It starts out with the same intervals, ba da 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 da, but then depending on the piece that's being written, they develop differently harmonically, but they spring from this from the same germ. We hear it in the Kennedy number, where you hear it as an Irish jig first. Play a little of that, Zach. And they sing, "There's Bobby and Jackie and Jack," which is the same intervals. Play those. Yeah. And then there's the song "Opening Doors," where you hear it, and it's called "Who Wants to Live in New York," where you hear sort of a foxtrot swing tune version of it. Could play a little bit of that. Yes. "Who Wants to Live in New York," based on the same intervals. And at the beginning of "Opening Doors," if you could look at the beginning, the very beginning of "Opening Doors," you hear Frank working out actually that melody. Charlie's typing, which doesn't have quite the right intervals. And then you hear, which does have the right intervals, and then he changes it. Changes it again, changes it again. Frustrated, he bangs on the piano.
Thank you. thanks, old friends. Keep reminding me. Frank's old friends always seem to come through. Frank will too. So old friends, now it's time to start growing up, taking charge, seeing things as they are, facing facts, not escaping them, still with dreams, just reshaping them, growing up. Charlie is a hothead, Charlie won't budge. Charlie is a friend. Charlie is a screamer, Charlie won't bend. Charlie's in your corner. Mary is a dreamer, Mary's a friend. Mary is a nudge. Mary is a purist, Charlie's a judge. Charlie is a dropout, everything's a cop-out. Why is it old friends don't want old friends to change? Every road has a turning, that's the way you keep learning. So old friends, don't you see we can have it all? Moving on, getting out of the past, solving dreams, not just trusting them, taking dreams, readjusting them, growing up, growing up, trying things, being flexible, bending with the road, adding dreams when the others don't last. Growing up, understanding that growing never ends. Like old dreams, some old dreams. Like old friends.
You just heard Malcolm Getz as Franklin Shepard singing Growing Up from the York Theater production of Merrily We Roll Along in the mid-1980s. That's a new song that was written for a revival of the show. I worked on a production at Arena Stage in Washington where Sondheim wrote that song for the first time. It was very exciting to hear that, certainly as a star-struck young dramaturg. One of the ironies about Merrily We Roll Along is everything about it is backwards. Many Broadway shows have their out-of-town tryouts and get fixed and open on Broadway and become hits. Merrily opened right on Broadway, no out-of-town tryout, a string of previews, was a flop, and then Sondheim and Firth spent the next 10 years writing and rewriting it in various regional theater productions and have made it, I think the score and the script is now in pretty darn good shape. When I worked on the show at Arena Stage in 1989, a very talented young girl played the role of Beth, who's Frank Shepard's first wife. She has to come on stage. She's on stage for about 30 seconds. Then she has to sing one of the great ballads in Broadway history. We were very lucky in that production that we had a young actress named Maren Mazie, who, of course, has gone on to great fame and shows like Ragtime and Kiss Me, Kate. And she sings the most dynamite version I know of Not a Day Goes By. It's full of rage and it's full of passion. And it gives you an idea of how intense the show Merrily We Roll Along can be when it wants to. Here's Maren Mazie.
Not a day goes by, not a single day, but you're somewhere a part of my life, and it looks like you'll stay as the days go by. I keep thinking, when does it end? Where's the day I'll have started forgetting? But I just go on thinking and sweating and cursing and crying and turning and reaching and waking and dying. And now not a day goes by, not a blessed day, but you're still somehow part of my life, and you won't go away, so there's hell to pay. I'll die day after day after day after day after day after day after day till the days go by, till the days go by, till the days go by, till the
Take your seat, because we're back from intermission here at Broadway to Main Street on WPPB 88.3, where we're going to start with Act Two of Merrily We Roll Along. One of the things that Sondheim did was to rewrite different songs during the course of the various revivals of Merrily We Roll Along. And for the Arena Stage production in 1989, he wrote a new song to begin the second act. And I spoke a little about that song and what it means to David Loud at a seminar of a pre-show, pre-dress rehearsal seminar at Encores at City Center.
I'll jump in on that one. That was done for the Arena Stage production, and we rehearsed the first week in New York. Who wants to rehearse in New York? And even though the show was in Washington, and I remember back then when there were fax machines, which seems like a long time ago, but we were at Playwrights Horizons, and Steve had faxed over a new opening for Act Two, which no one had ever heard before. Can you sort of... Well, maybe just where it starts to do its thing. So the character of Gussie, who you'll see is this musical comedy actress, appears on stage, and there are two guys in spotlights, and she's singing about should she love this younger guy she's attracted to, or should she go on, or should she stay married to her husband?
Right.
And the idea, well, I remember Steve saying that I guess Jonathan Tunick would have done a reduced orchestration, but to make it sound like Julie Stein. So at that point, at a certain point, you go, oh my God, it's not the character of Gussie could be singing about what the character is singing about, but all of a sudden you realize she's actually on stage in the show that Frank and Charlie have written.
He's only a boy. Why do I think he loves me? Maybe he loves what I can do for him. Maybe he thinks that I'll come through for him. Maybe the moon is cheese. And yet maybe, maybe something real is happening here. But baby, you're a baby. And the man I'm married to needs me near. Okay, the moon is cheese.
It was very important to Sondheim that it's very self-referentially sound like the overture to Gypsy, which would have been almost chronologically the same time that there, the character show Musical Husbands opened. So it's got, again, it's these sort of Chinese boxes within boxes within boxes of ideas that they keep going back to.
So I've always felt that the score was a tribute to Julie Stein. He mentions Funny Girl in one of the lyrics. He mentions Bells Are Ringing sort of obliquely in another lyric. And the ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba is not too dissimilar from I Have a Dream, a Dream About You. So there's sort of an unspoken reference to that musical as well.
There's a part in the second act, which always works for people who are composers and lyricists who work in the theater, one of the most charming moments in the show. And this is based totally on Sondheim and Prince's, if not exactly autobiographical experience, they are personal experiences, trying to start out, become writers, trying to get heard, trying to get listened to in the theater. It's a wonderful song. It's called Opening Doors. And we're going to go back again to the York Theater recording with Malcolm Getz, Adam Heller, and Amy Reiler, which is just a terrific version of it, very wittily done, and tells one of the great stories about what it's like to try to make it in musical theater.
How's it going?
Good, you?
Fair.
Yeah, tell me.
Chinese Laundry.
Hi.
Mary.
Say hello.
I think I got a job.
Where?
True Romances.
Posing.
Thank you. Writing captions.
What about the book?
What about the book?
Nothing. Are you working on the book?
Yes.
Good.
No.
Mary.
Right, I know. Yes, me and Balzac.
The one act.
I got an audition.
I started the story.
Rehearsal pianist.
So where are we eating?
I'm moving to Playboy.
The publisher called me.
I'm doing a rewrite.
My parents are coming.
I saw My Fair Lady.
I rewrote the rewrite.
I sort of enjoyed it.
I threw out the story.
I'm meeting an agent.
We'll all get together on Sunday. We're opening doors. Sing, here we are. We're filling up days on a dime. The faraway shores, looking not too far. We're following every star. There's not enough time.
Producer.
I sent off the one act.
I started the story.
He said to come see him.
I dropped out of college.
I met this musician.
I'm playing a nightclub.
They're doing my one act.
I'm working for Red Bull.
I rewrote the ballad.
I finished the story.
We started rehearsals.
I threw out the story and met the musician. I'm moving to Popular Science.
We're opening doors, singing. Look who's here. Beginning to sail on a dime. The faraway shores getting very near. We haven't a thing to fear. We haven't got time.
Heaven.
Hi.
Mary.
Say hello.
I got another job.
Where? What's that?
A brand new concept. Pop-up pictures.
What about the book?
What about the book?
Did you give the publisher the book?
Yes.
Good.
No.
Mary.
Looking ever.
Finished.
Let me call you back.
Hey.
This is just a dress.
Right.
Probably it stinks.
Right.
Haven't had the time to do a polish.
Will you sing?
Right. Who wants to live in New York? Who wants the worry, the noise, the dirt, the heat? Who wants the garbage cans clanging in the street? Suddenly I do. They're always popping their cork. I'll fix that line. The cops, the cabbies, the sales girls up at Saks. You've got to have a real taste for maniacs. Suddenly I do.
That's great. That's swell. The other stuff as well. It isn't every day I hear a score this strong. But fellas, if I may, there's only one thing wrong. There's not a tune you can hum. There's not a tune you go bump, 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 de-dum. You need a tune to go bump, 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 de-dum. Give me a melody. Why can't you throw him a crumb? Well, what's wrong with letting them tap their toes a bit. I'll let you know when Stravinsky has a hit. Give me some melody. Oh, sure, I know it's not that kind of show, but can't you have a score that's sort of in between? Look, play a little more, I'll show you what I mean.
Who wants to live in New York? I've always hated the dirt, the heat, the noise, but ever since I met you, I...
Listen, boys, maybe it's me, but that's just not a hum-a-ma-ma-ma-ma-ma-ma-melody. Write more, work hard, leave your name with the girl. Less avant-garde, leave your name with the girl. Just write a plain old melody.
They're stopping rehearsals, they ran out of money.
We lasted one issue, my book was rejected.
The nightclub was raided, I have to start coaching.
My parents are coming.
They screwed up the laundry.
My wallet was stolen.
I saw the musician.
We're being evicted.
I'm having a breakdown.
We'll all get together on Sunday. They're slamming the doors, singing, go away. It's less of a sail than a climb. That faraway shore's farther every day. We're learning to ricochet. We still have a lot to say. You know what we'll do?
What?
We'll do a review.
What?
What?
We'll do a review of our own.
What?
Where?
Why?
When? Not just songs, but stories, scenes, piano pieces, mime.
Yeah.
Frankly Frank.
A showcase of our own.
Where?
The club's reopening.
We'll write a lot of new stuff.
Rewrite old stuff.
What about the girl?
What about the girl?
Only that we're gonna need a girl.
Well, Mary.
Thanks, I don't perform except at dinner.
Who wants to live in New York? Who wants the worry, the noise, the dirt, the heat? Who wants the garbage can? I can sing higher.
Thank you for coming. Next aid, please.
They're always popping their cork.
Up a tone.
The cops, the cabbies, the sales girls,
up a tone.
At Saks. You've got to have a real taste for maniacs.
Thank you, you're hired.
I'm Beth.
I'm Frank.
I really thought I stank.
I'm Mary.
Charlie.
By the way, I'm told we open Saturday.
But you're not serious.
Nobody's ready.
Apparently somebody canceled a booking.
The songs aren't finished.
And what about costumes?
And how do I learn all these numbers?
I'll bring you the copies of everything later this evening.
Okay, I'll have to learn all of them.
We'll worry about it on Sunday. We're opening doors. Singing, here we are. We're filling up days on a dime. The faraway shores, looking not too far. We're following every star. There's not enough time.
For viewers and fans of Merrily We Roll Along, probably the most touching moment comes towards the end, especially in the original production where the young actors who'd played 40-plus were now in their early 20s. They were late teens. They were actually playing the ages of the characters on stage. It was an amazingly poetic and effective intersection of life and art. Here's David Loud again from the original production talking about that moment from 1981.
We were terrified and very young and very green, but would do anything to please and worked incredibly hard for Hal and Steve. It was an honor and almost a little bit too much to bear to have the responsibility for doing that show and being so inexperienced and eager and willing, but not necessarily having all of the history and the skills. There was always a feeling when we got to the end of the show, when we were finally playing people our own age, that we had sort of made it to the safe territory and could invest those scenes at the end with exactly the sort of fervor and hope and innocence that they needed. But as we found in previews, a lot of the audience had left by that point.
Something is stirring, shifting ground, it's just begun.
edges are blurring all around, and yesterday is done. Feel the flow, hear what's happening, we're what's happening. Don't you know, we're the movers and we're the shapers. We're the names in tomorrow's papers. Up to us, man, to show 'em. It's our time, breathe it in. Worlds to change and worlds to win. Our turn coming through, me and you. It quivers on the brink.
What?
Everything gives you the shivers, makes you think there's so much stuff to sing. And you and me will be singing it like the birds. Me with music and you the words. Tell them things they don't know. Us, pal, to show 'em. It's our time, breathe it in. Worlds to change and worlds to win. Our turn, we're what's new. Me and you, pal, me and you. Feel the flow, hear what's happening. We're what's happening. Long ago, all we had was that funny feeling, saying someday we'd send them reeling. Now it looks like we can. Someday just began.
Something is stirring. Shifting ground, it's just begun. Edges are blurring all around, and yesterday is done.
Feel the flow, hear what's happening, clear what's happening. Don't you know, we're the movers and we're the shapers. We're the names in tomorrow's papers. Up to us now to show on. Our time, breathe it in. Worlds to change and worlds to win. Our turn coming through. Me and you, pal, me and you. Years from now, we'll remember and we'll come back by the rooftop and hang a plaque. This is where we began.
Sort of a time when I feel like we were all living life with very full emotions and very very big dreams that sort of matched the dreams of the characters in the show. When we ran only for 2 weeks after it was just devastatingly disappointing, of course. But the day after we closed, we recorded the cast album, and that has sort of kept the show alive and in people's hearts.
See, I'll talk a little about that. I think among maybe cast album legacies, Candide is pretty high up there as an album that kept a show alive from the 1956 production. And I think you'd have to, even though say Anyone Can Whistle was recorded. There haven't been nearly as many productions of that. Can you talk a little about you? So the show had closed on a Saturday, and you record, or closed on a Sunday, and you recorded on a month. What exactly was the chronology of that?
Whatever it was the day after, and we started at 10 in the morning. I think it was a Sunday. It must have closed on a Saturday night. We started at 10 in the morning on Sunday and finished about 2 in the morning that night. And the last number that we recorded was the Kennedy number, which I played the piano for. I must have been groggy, but we had so much adrenaline, and it sounds like I can still play the piano on the album, so it must have gone okay.
Did you have any idea that that it would sort of go on to have future lives and lives and lives and lives in different iterations?
It was unimaginable at the time that anybody would ever want to do the show again. The reaction was so negative, and we knew the score was great, and we loved the score, and we knew the story was powerful and should have resonated with people in the way that it seems to now, but at the time, the reviews were so damning, and I remember people, they would come up to Paul Gemignani in the pit because he was the only one they could get at, and they would yell at him. What are you doing? Why would you do this? There was a scene in the second act when Lonnie was singing Good Thing Going, where we all were looking out into the audience. And I used to wonder why the exit lights were blinking. Couldn't figure it out, and finally I realized it was people's heads going past them.
That was David Loud talking about one of the things obviously closest to my heart, which is how cast albums and the music of Broadway go through all eternity, go through perpetuity, and bring in new fans and new relationships and new productions everywhere. The success of the Merrily We Roll Along cast album was so strong that it created so many different revivals and ongoing productions since its flop in 1981. The most current one is the Encore City Center staged presentation, which goes till February 19th. I urge you all to see it if you're Stephen Sondheim fans. And everyone who's a Stephen Sondheim fan and everyone who's a Merrily fan is part of one large family, a large family of old friends. We'll always stick together. We'll always keep our fingers crossed for the perfect production. So here's one of the oldest friends there is, Stephen Sondheim and Angela Lansbury, taking us out with their version of Old Friends.
Hey, old friend, are you okay? Old friend, what do you say? Old friend, are we or are we unique?
Time goes by, everything else keeps changing. You and I, we can continue next week.
Most friends pay, or they don't make the grade. Humans are quickly made, and in a pinch, sure they do. Of us, old friends, what's to discuss? Old friends is to us, who's like us, than food.
Well, where is the time all gone to? This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time.